Morning, church family. I want to welcome you to the service. Why don't we stand and worship the Lord together?
You deserve the greater glory.
next song is called Lord, I Need You. And I was going to say a few words about it, but I'm just going to let the song speak for itself.
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you.
Thank you, worship team, for that. I want to welcome you today in the name of Jesus. Whether you're a regular here or this is the first time you're here, you're welcome. And it is our hope and prayer that you feel the love of Christ while you're here with us today. This morning's scripture reading will be from Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This past week, I struggled at times with feeling weary and feeling wore out and just feeling overwhelmed at times, anxious. It just, midway through the week, it was a struggle for me. And this was a verse that I turned to often. I thought about often. I didn't turn to it, but I thought about it. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. And that's not just for me. That's for all of us here this morning. As we gather today, let us all bring our burdens, our joys, our hearts, our anxieties, whatever, before the Lord. He is inviting us to come and to worship Him and to receive His rest. So let's be in that heart posture this morning. This morning's the ushers can come forward. This morning's offering is for pastoral support.
pray.
Let's pray. Lord, this morning we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you and to come to you with our burdens and our anxieties. Lord, I thank you for the pastors, the church leaders, the people around this world who are called to ministry, who are called to preach, to teach, and to lead your people. And Lord, I just pray that you would give them what they need this morning as they meet together with congregations. Lord, I just pray that you would give them strength, give them joy in their work. And I just pray that their ministries would be fruitful. Lord, we thank you for the many jobs and opportunities that we have in our own congregation to work and to make money and to provide. And Lord, we just thank you for these gifts and the giver. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Mennonite Hymnal 187. Sunday school class this morning, this hymn was mentioned, and it goes right along with Psalms 93. 187, Majestic Sweetness, Majestic Sweetness.
Majestic sweetness is enthroned upon the Savior's crown. His head with praise and glory is crowned. His lips with praise overflow. His lips with praise overflow. No more to remember.
Is going to be bringing us a message this morning. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you today for Roland and his life. Lord, I thank you for his faithfulness to you amidst struggle. And Lord, I just pray that you would anoint his lips. Lord, anoint our ears. May we have ears to hear what he has for us. And Lord, I just pray that you would give him what he needs to face this moment. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Sean. This morning, we continue on in our series from Matthew. We're going to be looking at the parable of the sower from chapter 13. Now, it starts out that same day Jesus went out of the house. And so, just to refresh our minds a little bit of what happened that same day, I'm going to look back chapter 12 a little bit. Some things Mike spoke on 2 weeks ago. Earlier, the first part of the chapter, he had picked some grain on the Sabbath day. The Pharisees condemned him. He goes to the synagogue. There was a man there with a crippled hand, and Jesus healed the man. The Pharisees, rather than believing in Jesus, rather they sought to kill him. He healed more sick, did all sorts of miracles. He cast out a demon from a demon-possessed man. Rather than recognizing him as something special, they accused him of casting out demons with the power of demons, the prince of demons. After all this, when the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you," there was nothing more Jesus could say to these men that would cause them to believe in him. If they hadn't believed the signs to this point, what would they believe? He had brought sight to the blind. He had healed lepers. He had let crippled people walk, healed the man with the bad hand. He raised a little girl that was dead back to life. And yet, they say, "We want a sign." Jesus knew at this point nothing he could say was going to change their mind. And so, Mike pointed out, this was the shift in his ministry. Here's where he changed the way he taught and the way he spoke to people. As we come down to the end of the chapter, he's speaking to a crowd, and outside someone said, "Your mothers and brothers are waiting, wanting to speak to you." And he told them, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." So begin chapter 13, that same day. So I'll read the text and then we'll look at it. "That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into the boat and sat in it while the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, 'A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on the good soil where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that once fell on the rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on the good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." So the scene here is this big crowd of people have followed Jesus. He's out on the lake shore. They're all clustered around him. So he gets in a boat and pulls out from the shore a little bit. That way more people can see him, and sound carries very well across the water. And as the lake shore would have slanted up away from the lake, that gave people the ability to see him a lot better. It would have been sort of like standing in an amphitheater or a stadium. So you'd have been able to look out and get a better view of what was going on. He sat in the boat while the people stood. The famous preacher Charles Spurgeon said, "We should have less sleeping in congregations if this arrangement still prevailed." So I think that's right. If we removed all the benches and got a chair up here for Mike Sunday mornings, that would eliminate the sleeping problem. But then he tells a little story about a man going out and sowing a field. Now, the way they did things is considerably different than we seed fields now. Now it's with a tractor and a drill and a planter. Everything goes in nice little straight rows. But in these days, they would have spread the seed by hand. So the sower would have had a basket, or maybe he held his robe up and had it in. He carried the seed in something, and as he went out, he flung the seed, just kind of scattered it, tried to get it even as he could, but it went all over the place. It wasn't precisely planted. And it landed on different spots in his field. Some fell on the path. There was a path up through the field here where that soil was just mashed down tight and that seed just laid on top. The first birds that came flying by seen that yummy seed down there and stopped and ate the seeds. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil and it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. Now, the sower didn't just go out and dump his seeds on a pile of rocks, of course not. But the area of the field he planted there, there were a lot of rocks sticking up. It was visible. But anywhere there's a rocky area like that, there are quite a few rocks right under the surface. If you've ever tried to plant a tree or dig a post hole in West Rockingham, you know what I'm saying. I think there's more rock than there is dirt. It's no wonder they call us Rockingham County. So where those rocks are just under the surface, that soil maybe is only a quarter inch thick. Gets a little rain, that seed will pop right up, but as soon as the sun shines on it, it dehydrates it, the plant is dead. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Now the soil there was good fertile soil. It grew things very, very well. But not only did that seed that the sower planted land there, there were a lot of weed seeds. Weeds tend to be very aggressive and outcompete the crops. Some of the seed fell on good soil where it produced a very good yield. That one little seed germinated, it grew, it matured. The head on it, some of them had 30 grains, some had 60, some had 100. He tells the people who has ears, let them hear. So the disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" A parable is a short story that explains an idea, especially a moral or religious idea. In this case, it revealed the truth to those who wanted to know, but it concealed the truth from those who had no desire to know. Jesus knew that there were many people in his crowd who were going to reject him or already did. They were there to see the miracles. But he spread that seed anyway. He gave his message to everyone there. He gave them an opportunity to hear. He answered his disciples, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them." His disciples had chosen to believe him, so knowledge was given to them. The rest of the people had opportunity. They had seen the miracles, but they had rejected him anyway. So he tells them, "Who has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. That's why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah." This comes out of Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah was commissioned to be a prophet. And just before this quote is where we have the familiar words, "Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me." Then the Lord essentially tells Isaiah that you're going to go preach and no one will listen, or very few people will listen. So that was the same in Jesus' time. That prophecy had came true. Jesus knew that when he taught, most people would not listen to him. And I think later, the apostles found that to be true when they preached. They gave out the gospel message. Most people, it didn't resonate with. He said, "For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." We've seen in the earlier chapters in Matthew where the people refused to recognize Jesus for who he was in spite of all those miracles. Again, when he brought a dead girl back to life, he could heal a paralyzed person, he could do all these things that were just beyond imagination. And yet, people didn't want to understand that this is the Son of God or the Messiah. I don't know what they thought he was. They would even accuse him of using the power of the devil. But they had rejected everything he tried to tell them. Not only did they refuse to believe, they wanted to kill him. The people weren't able to see Christ for who he was because they were rejecting the gospel message. They preferred to live with their perverted form of legalism rather than living according to the spirit of the law. So as Isaiah prophesied, Jesus was preaching to a crowd that would mostly reject him. But like the prophet Isaiah, Jesus was faithful in delivering God's message to the people. He goes back to talking to the disciples, "But blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear." In this case, the truth is being revealed to the people that want to hear. Earlier in the book of Matthew, Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. The one who seeks, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened to you." So those who had honest questions, he gave honest answers. To the Pharisees who didn't want to believe and who only asked gotcha questions, trying to disprove or discredit Jesus, these parables were nothing more than a simple little story about a guy farming. You know, they had nothing with this story to harden their hearts farther. He just told a story about a man that went out and sowed some seed on the ground. So he tells the disciples, they ask, "What does it mean?" He answers them, "Listen to what the parable of the sower means." So here he explained to those that wanted to know the truth, this story really doesn't have anything to do with a farmer or with seeds or paths or rocks or dirt or birds. It's a story about the different ways the human heart responds to the gospel message. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. So those in the crowd that heard this parable, they did not want to acknowledge Jesus. They did not want to accept him. That little story went nowhere. They were people whose hearts were hardened by unbelief. They didn't put any effort into understanding or asking what was this story really about. If they did, Jesus would have answered them. So they gave up the opportunity to receive the gospel message and allowed Satan to take it away from them. So the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they fall quickly away. In Luke's account, it says they believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The Christian life is not easy. In some parts of the world, people are tortured, imprisoned, killed. Their houses burnt down, terrible things happened to them. Other times, you don't have that overt persecution, but you do have challenges in life. You might get resistance from friends or family. You might be mocked, made fun of. It may affect what job you hold. That the Christian life is not easy. The shallow rooted in this case, in this parable, are people who believe in God, but they have no faith. They don't trust God to see them through the tough times. So in the face of adversity, they just quit because it's too hard. What should have been a relationship with God is just a passing fancy. It was good in the moment, but it amounted to nothing. We all have trouble, but when we focus on our misery instead of God, we can fall away. He then tells them the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. Luke says they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. It's easy to get caught up in the desire for a good life here, the everyday busyness. It's nice to have a little money, to have some toys, to have a nicer house, to go on neat vacations. The cares of this world, how do we spend our time? Do we spend it in kingdom work, or is it watching movies or ball game, scrolling on our phones, watching YouTube? There's a lot of things that can take our time and energies. Of themselves, they're not bad. But when that's where our primary focus is, that's where we put all of our energy, it becomes a problem. All those toys, the cash that we want in life, the pursuit of money, all that can remove our focus from God. Those things can become idols. Earlier in Matthew, he said, no one can serve two masters. Either you hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money both. There can only be one main priority in your life. Is it God or is it you and the pleasures of life? The seed that is surrounded by thorns and weeds doesn't produce any more grain than the surrounding thorns and weeds did. It amounts to nothing. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. So some of the seed that lands on the good ground produces more than others, a lot more than others. But there's a common denominator here. All of that produced something. It was all productive. There's an expectation of a kingdom yield in the life of all believers. Simply going along for the ride, so to speak, is not an option. You know, we read in the parable of the vine. Jesus said, I'm the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Well, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be more fruitful. That sower sowed the seed with the expectation of a return. Back in verse 12, Jesus told them, whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken away from them. Later on in the book of Matthew, we have what's known as the parable of the talents, where a man who was leaving town gives his hired men different amounts of gold to go and do something with. Two of those men were very diligent. They worked, they invested, whatever they did, but they doubled what was entrusted to them. The other man put forth no effort in growing the investment. Even though he knew the boss was a hard man and expected a return, he did absolutely nothing. Didn't put it in the bank, didn't get interest, didn't do anything with it. The master, to say the least, was not okay with this. complete lack of effort. He pronounced judgment on him. He says, so take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have more than enough. But from the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And throw this good-for-nothing servant into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For those that apply themselves, they are rewarded. For people who put forth no effort into figuring these parables out or understanding what Jesus said, they get nothing. What little they have is taken away. Now we read the sower in this parable. He was very generous in spreading the seed. All that soil had a chance. Some was more productive, some wasn't. But he went over that whole field, throwing it everywhere. Sure, some of that ground looked very rocky, but in between some of them rocks was a spot where the seed could take hold. Some of the ground looked good, but there was weed seed down in it where the sower couldn't see that. He gave that soil an opportunity also. Some bounced up on the path, some went out in the good ground, but nonetheless, he was very generous in sowing, giving out the gospel message, but only some of it was fruitful. God has given us his word. The seed has been sown. God has given us the Bible. The Gideons hand out thousands, millions, maybe a billion now. I don't remember. It's a lot. The gospel is all over the internet. You can surf the radio. It's all over the radio stations. I seen a thing on the news this morning that last Sunday, set a record for the download on the Bible app. It was downloaded 798,000 times. Maybe some of you were in that number downloading it for the Read Through the Bible program. Hope so. But nonetheless, the seed has been sown. If you've heard about Jesus, you've heard the gospel message, that seed has landed on your heart. What are you going to do with it? The choice is yours. Are you going to ignore it because you don't want to have to change the way of life that you're living? You'd rather live your way of life than God's way? The Pharisees didn't want to change their life either. They wanted to they rejected Christ. And you have the opportunity to reject Christ also, just like they did. Are you going to be a follower of Christ as long as things go well, but walk away when times get tough? A family member or a buddy maybe excludes you from social activities you want to be a part of. Maybe it has something to do with your job. But when times get tough, what are you going to do? You have the choice. Are you going to walk away? Or are you going to claim to be a Christian, but then do nothing more than warm a bench on Sunday mornings? The rest of the week, you're busy chasing the dream. Whether it's money, hobbies, nice house, a nice car, how do you spend your time? On what activities? What sports? Are you working for you? Are you going to work for the kingdom? You have a choice. What are you going to do with it? Or are you going to take the call of the gospel to heart? Putting Christ first in your life. Allow him to work through you to multiply the kingdom. Are you going to let that seed germinate and grow? Are you going to let that plant mature? Are you going to follow Christ? You have that choice. Christ has invited all of us to be part of his kingdom. The seed's been sown. So I encourage you, accept the gospel with an open heart. Allow it to grow. Allow it to mature and produce a bountiful harvest. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear.
Mennonite hymnal again, 587. 587. This is a song that has a lot of little statements about what happens when the seed does take hold, what it can do. Pay attention to the words. 587, a wonderful, wonderful word.
Christ.
Thank you, Roland, for that. Something that stuck out to me that he said there was, what are we fighting for? What are we focused on? Are we building things? Are we doing kingdom work? Or are we focusing on ourselves? I think it's a battle we all face and we all fight regularly. So we know which way to go. It's just hard to go that the right way sometimes. So let's be kingdom people. Moving into announcements, Brooke and Diego's twins have arrived, which is awesome. Tonight is the worship night, and this is something that I really want to encourage you all to come. I expect to see you here, actually. It's going to be a good time. A lot of people have put a lot of work into it, preparing music and songs for it, and it's just going to be a special time of worshiping the Lord, and I look forward to seeing all of you here. This week will be the congregational prayer meeting here. That's Wednesday at 7 p.m. The youth provide child care for this. And this is something that, honestly, it bothers me largely. It seems like these things are poorly attended often. So let's come out and worship the Lord and share our burdens with Him, cast our burdens upon Him. And together as a body, it's a special time. I look forward to seeing you here for that as well. Next Sunday is communion and foot washing. The elder nominations, the ballots, they are due back next Sunday as well. So continue to prayerfully consider this and seek the Lord in it. There's another baby dedication that's scheduled for January the 26th. So if you weren't involved in the previous one and you haven't talked to anybody about this coming one yet, then by all means reach out to one of us on the leadership team, and we want to make that happen for you if that's something you want to do, to dedicate your child to the Lord. Is there any other announcements from the floor? All right, well, let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this time that we can be together in your house and worship you. Lord, I thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, your love for us, your grace and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for being a good God. Lord, we need you every hour. Lord, this morning I pray for the worship night tonight, God. I thank you for the ones who are helping make it happen, leading the music and put songs together. Lord, I just pray that your spirit would move here among us this evening, God, as we worship you. And I just pray that it would be a special time of fellowship with our church body. Lord, we thank you for life. We thank you for Brooke and Diego's twins arriving safely. Lord, we thank you that you provided along the way in many regards. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for the gift of life in the church. And Lord, I pray that as we consider these elder nominations, and Lord, I just pray that you would lay upon our hearts the men who are called to this. Lord, I pray that you would call these men. Lord, that you would stir in the hearts of men and prepare them, prepare the way for this to happen. And God, I pray, I thank you for the people who make these services happen. Thank you for Roland and the worship team and others who behind the scenes. And God, I just pray that you would bless them. God, as we depart from here and go about our week, Lord, I pray that you would go with us, protect us, God, and make your face to shine upon us, Lord. I pray that you would give us clean hands and give us pure hearts. And restore to us the joy of our salvation and renew a right spirit within us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go in peace.